Tried in vain a thousand ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But what I need, your word has said, is ever only Jesus. You died, you live, you reign, you plead. There's love in all your words and deeds. This weary heart finds all it needs in ever only Jesus. And I want to know you, Jesus, my Lord, King of the heavens, King of my soul. I trade my treasure.
Better know this God of your salvation. Does going to church won't do it, even though it's good to go to church? You better know him in these last days as an anchor, as a true God that cares, and he does care, and he wants the best, and he has the best for you and for me. Because he cares for you, he cares for me, He's an awesome God. In this wicked world, as we see the wars, the rumors of wars that are going on in the Middle East, it's horrifying what's going on. I won't go into detail. I will let those that follow it more closely. But it's horrible. And the Bible predicts that in the last days that will happen. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And because of the unrest of what? Of the demonic realm in this wicked world, in the heavens, because they know their time is very short. That's why we need to turn to Jesus for salvation and only salvation. There is no other. There is no other God. There is no other salvation given among men whereby mankind can be saved. That's through the blood of Jesus. We cannot try to obtain, to do good works, to do penance, to do whatever good you are, because there is no good in mankind to please God. We don't have it. We were born lost. We are sinners from birth, way back from Adam. We are what we are because we can't help ourselves. That's why Jesus had to do the work. He had to do the salvation to save you and me. That's why the demonic is so powerful, but they're lying because they know their time is very short. We do not have an idea what they are going through, but because they know how much time they have left, they know that Jesus someday will come and take them all and turn and totally put them into the lake of fire forever and forever. This is a horrifying agony for the human race not to turn to Jesus for salvation and knowing full well the end of him, if he doesn't turn to Jesus, will be the same thing as those demons. It's the lake of fire forever and ever. That's why Jesus came into the scene. And today on my message, it's going to be different. It's his religion, ways of operating, or the law, versus true Christianity. Jesus never pulled any punches. He never held back. When he came out the truth, he told them, listen, guys, I'll tell you the truth. You need to be born again. It was totally and completely clear. Last week, Brother James started a little bit on that. I will get a little angle on that. The Lord has shown me a couple of weeks ago. And before we go into this message, let's rise up and ask the Lord to bless. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Holy Ghost. You will anoint, you will take over and preach. Lord, we need you. We ask you that you will help us to bring out this precious word of yours, Lord, without compromise. Because, Lord God, it's you and you only, nobody else. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will bless this morning, that you will bless the listeners and the hearers, those that are listening through radio, YouTube, Lord. Open up their eyes, our people, Lord, right, if they're listening in, Lord, that they may see what you really mean when it comes to salvation, what you meant by saving a person. And I ask you to bless everyone here in Jesus' name. You may be seated. When we read the Word of God, it's actually very simple, but it can be very complicated if you do not read it the right way. When we read of an incident where a ruler of the Jews, and you all know when I mention his name, Nicodemus, he came by night to Jesus. And he knew the scriptures, he knew the Old Testament, he knew the law, how it works, what God demanded of the law. You shall live by the law and do them. And even then, they couldn't keep it. But as a ruler of the law, he knew everything. He went to Jesus by night and he said, Master, we know who you are. We know you do miracles. We know where you are from. Nobody can do what you do except God be with you. Interesting statement. They knew, religious, they know there is something different. but they want to go their own way. They don't see. They don't see the way God operates. It's not by might nor by power nor by my, but by my spirit, says the Lord. When God was talking in Jeremiah, he said, I will someday come and will do something different, not according to the old letter, not according to what I did in the Old Testament, took him by the hand and gave him my laws. No, I will write my law into their hearts, into their minds, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Now, when you turn to Jesus for salvation and you're born again by his Spirit, God doesn't see it anymore, that iniquity, even though you fall into them. But if you, as a child of God, if you say you are a Christian, and you are falling and living in a lifestyle before you say you got born again, there might be something wrong. It might not be there. The Spirit of God might not be there. Because one thing I remember when I became a Christian, even though I made mistakes, yes, I do, I admit it. But one thing remember, when Jesus puts his Spirit within you, when you're born again by his Spirit, you will remember one thing I tell you, you have a hunger to go after the things of God. You want to read his word. You want to live for God. It's inside out. It's there. It's automatically there because that relationship that you need to do and have with Jesus, you have to work on it. I agree. But one thing you have to remember, you have to be born again. Let's read in verse in John 3 and to prove it to you in one. In John 3, 1, 2, and 3, he says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And he was a ruler. He knew everything. And then same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come down from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. He knows that. He admitted it. He saw it, but he didn't see nothing. He said, they have eyes, they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. What is he talking about? I'll show it to you. It's very, very simple. When Jesus talks to him, he didn't hold back the punch. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot do, he cannot see. That word see, enter into the kingdom of God. God has to open your eyes for you and for me to see the things of God. The Spirit of God has to become one with you. He has to be born again by his Spirit to see how God operates. That's what he's talking about here. You need to be born again. Except you are born again, you do not see the way God operates. Except you're born again by the Spirit of God, you cannot perform the things God meant for you and for me to do. You cannot do things and cast out devils, heal the sick, except you are born again by the Spirit of the living God. We need to realize, we need to turn, going to church, being a ruler in a situation, in a denomination, being a preacher, the so-called preacher, and you do not see the real way into heaven, and you're not born again, preacher of the gospel. Preachers are then in our culture, in Hutterites. If you think you are a ticket to heaven because you are being pulled out of a hat, you do not have it. You need to turn to Jesus for salvation. The only way that God meant for you and for me to preach this gospel, we have to turn to Jesus. We have to be born again. And if you stand up daily, every day, going to church, reading out of a book, thinking you're doing God a service, it does not work that way. It has to be done the way God intended it to be. And that's by his Spirit. Because Jesus said in turn to 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing that teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, And even as it had taught you, you shall abide in him. And once you turn to this great salvation of God, once you turn to Jesus for salvation, the word of God becomes very, very useful. It comes to becoming making sense. You will not understand everything at once. It takes time. God will reveal it. If you have a hungry heart and turn to him and ask him, I want to know. It might take years. It might take a day. It might take a couple of months. It doesn't matter. But God will someday will just click. He will show you things. As you have a hungry heart for you, as you reach out and read his word, you will become more and more like Jesus, just like Paul the Apostle, till Christ be formed in you, till he has totally and completely dominion over your spirit, because he has free access, he can do whatever he wants, because you give everything over to him. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 9, Paul the Apostle, But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So this morning, I'm asking you, I'm not going to condemn you. Just search your hearts. Search it out. Whoever it is, by listening to radio or YouTube or here in this congregation, search your heart. Make sure that Jesus is inside of you. Make sure that you are settled in Jesus, because in these last days, we need him more and more. And if you want to become one with God, if you want to become to come to the kingdom of God, you must turn to Jesus for true salvation. Everything else is garbage. Everything else is dung, because Jesus is the only way into heaven. You can go to church as often as you want. You can read your Bible as often as you want. You can sing songs as often as you want. It doesn't mean a hill of beans. You need to turn to Jesus for true salvation, and the Spirit of the living God will take over, and then you will do things that are pleasing to God Almighty. Thank you. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Amen.
How many of you been enjoying the last week, listening to what's going on as we get closer to the end? It's horrific. I knew this would come years ago, but for some reason, I did not understand the total depravity of mankind. I didn't see it. Now God is starting to show how depraved people are. It's not only Hezbollah, it's also the Jews. God promised the Jews this land. These guys, they want to kick them out. They don't want to kick them out. They want to kill every Jew that's alive. Once they'd be finished with the Jew over there, then they'd come for the Jew here, or the Jew in London, or the Jew in Germany. God made a promise to Abraham, your seed will last forever. And that's what Satan wants to try and change. But we know Satan is a born loser. He's a loser, and he will not win. Israel will stand. The flag of Israel will fly when Jesus comes back. They'll go through stuff. But let me tell you, keep your eyes on there. It's just me telling you, this is where it all going to begin. The end of the end. And we're starting to see it. God said in the last days, there shall be perilous times. Men shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. We're seeing that all around us. And we are now beginning to see what God is really meant by that. I've studied this for years, and I said, is man so depraved that he would even kill his own mother and dad, that he would kill his brother and sister? I've experienced some of that, not killing necessarily, but seeing the end result of hatred towards them that turn to God. Yes, when they chop up babies, kick and take off their heads right in front of everybody and gleefully putting it on the internet where everybody can watch, you know that man is desperately wicked, constantly evil, and he needs a savior. That goes for Hamas, that goes for the Muslims, for any religion. There is Catholic, Hutterite, Mennonite, you name it. We need Jesus. But there's a problem. I will preach today about a subject that Steve touched on, but it does not make logical sense to many, many people who will end up in hell. And this is what God means. They hate God. And that's why God cannot open their eyes to see the total unlogic idea of how to get to heaven. Can you remember, for those of you who are here, when you were young, you wanted to go to heaven. Everybody here, I'm sure, wanted to go to heaven. One day, God showed you how to get there. And for a while, you were kind of shook up. Anyway, I was. That is way too simple. But God, if that's what you said, I'm going to go for it. Why did I go for it? Because I believed what the Word of God said. Never mind what was preached to me. Never mind what was taught to me. I believed the unlogical, impossible situation that God brought into this world. Listen in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. To us that are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power that will get us into the kingdom. And it says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. How can it be possible that God would give heaven to somebody who doesn't work for it? For somebody who just believes what Jesus did on the cross is all you need. There was this one Jerry jailer that asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? And what did Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Who can make sense of that? Not the logical mind that tries to figure everything out. It's the one that takes it by faith and says, whatever you say, God, this is exactly how I'm going to take it. So the preaching of the cross is foolishness because they do not believe what God says. But to us that are saved, it is the most powerful thing that ever existed on this planet. Hallelujah. It's the blood of Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "For after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So regardless how wise you are, you don't qualify, and that's it, unless you believe the foolishness of preaching of the cross. You can be, what's that guy's name that invents everything? Einstein. He invented stuff. Like the guy who came up with electric cars just to make money. You know, those guys are so smart, so wise, but they don't believe the foolishness of preaching. The foolishness of preaching of the cross, that's what's going to bring them into hell. Not their evil doings. We're all dead in trespasses and sin. We're all come short of the glory of God. Whether you steal or whether you murder or whether you, whatever you do, it doesn't matter. We come short and we all get the same medicine. And then it goes on, Galatians chapter 3. For those of you who have problem with believing, at least believe what the word says. For you are all the children of God. By what? By your good works? By being a goody two-shoes? No. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I want to ask a question. Are you a child of God? If you believe what this word says here, then you are. But the problem with the wise, the problem with the foolish, I call them, they don't believe what the word of God says. That this simple faith in this God Almighty is going to take us into the kingdom. And not only that, taking us into the kingdom. For the rest of eternity, we are going to rule and reign with him. Universes, that's ours, because we are his children. And the reason we are his children, we have faith in this Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What did he do with the law? The law that says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. Do that. It's not that I'm giving you a license to sin. Anybody who uses that as an excuse, I will question him, are you a Christian? What did he do with the law? He nailed it to the tree. Hallelujah. He crucified the law. He nailed it to the tree. Now it does not touch us because we believe what Jesus did. It says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made what? A curse for us. He took the curse on himself. He took it on himself for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. It says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Why? Because we're all under a curse. We cannot see the light unless we turn to this God and accept his forgiveness. Ask and it shall be given unto you. There's no excuse for anybody. He made it so easy a 2-year child can understand. Jesus saves. We sing those songs. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, this is what we lean on. I don't care how sick you are, or how smart you are, or how much money you got in the bank. If you don't have this promise in your heart, it's all to no avail. You'll live maybe 90 years, 80. The Bible says he gives you 70 years. After that, there's nothing but problems. And I have experienced that and am experiencing it. There's nothing but problems. But guess what? I got Jesus. Amen. I walk in joy. I know where I'm going. My time is coming when this body will simply peel off and adios. I'm out of here and I'm going to be with Christ for eternity. Galatians chapter 3 verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. The law is good. Thou shalt not kill. What would happen if everybody would start killing one another? Pretty soon, there'd be nothing left. And if you would leave man to his way of operating, in the end, they would annihilate themselves. They would simply kill each other off. God forbid, for if there had been a law given which would have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If there would have been one law given where we could become righteous, God would have made it. Hallelujah, he would have. But there is no law. It's the blood of Christ. But the scripture have concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Let's look at Abraham a little bit. He was a liar. He was a coward. He sold out his wife. Hey, that's not my wife. Hey, you take her if you want her. Just leave me alive. Come on. You read the Old Testament saints. They're cowards. They are adulterers. They're everything. You don't want your kid to grow up like King David. That's for sure. And always not live like him. You look at these things. Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, what was he? He was a thief. He was a swindler. He swindled everybody out of his stuff. By the time you'd look up, he'd have your house, your wife, your kids, everything, and you'd be left empty-handed. Amen. But he was God's chosen vessel, and nobody could touch him. Amen. Go figure it out. I can't. God has his ways, and we accept what he has for us. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we are an angel, listen to this. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than what we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You know what that simply means? If you got somebody out there who preaches religion, let them go to hell. That's what it says. Let them be accursed. That's where cursed people go. They go to hell. If you were raised in a system where the preacher preached anything other than the cross of Christ, and he still insists on it, he doesn't listen when you talk to him about Jesus. Let him go to hell. The Bible teaches it. Let him be accursed. I'm not making this up. This was written 2,000 years ago by who? By God himself. I'm just a spokesman today, and I'm coming on strong, I know that. But that's the truth, and it will not diminish. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. For we through the Spirit, we got the Spirit in here. We accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We know he's our only hope. We know that here's our only chance that we have. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We are going to become righteous simply by faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The other day, I was talking to a guy about the Ten Commandments, even the Sermon on the Mount. God put the Ten Commandments out of our reach. The Sermon on the Mount, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. Is there anybody here that can honestly say he loves the Lord his God with all his soul, all his heart, all his mind? Don't say yes, because you're a liar if you do. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Don't say yes, because you're a liar if you do. But that's what God says. This is the two only commandments that qualify you. Love your Lord God and love your neighbor. But you fail every time. You can't love your neighbor as yourself. You don't love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. Oh, I would love to do that. And one day I will. That's for sure. And I love even you as I love myself. You can be sure of that once we're in heaven. You know that's coming. So look at me. I'm going to be your ever-loving neighbor. I'm going to be there patting you on the back. You're such a nice guy, and I'm going to mean it. I'm going to mean it. It's not going to come out with a forked tongue. I'll be telling the truth when I say you're such a nice guy. You know why you're such a nice guy? Because you became like Christ. Hallelujah. Christ is a nice guy. God is perfect, pure, holy. This is what we are promised. We are and will one day be like God. Face to face, we will see what he sees in us already. Lest it's there for us. It started. We are going to be God's chosen for the rest of eternity. Let's put our minds and our hearts into his heart and become one with him. And let's study the word so that we can know the love of Christ. Because God did not only die for my sin, for what I do wrong. He also died for my thoughts. If it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, that thought is taken care of at the cross. If it says, thou shalt not kill, it says, even if you think of killing somebody, and believe me, I have thought of killing people. Well, praise be to God. God died for that sin. I'm pure. I'm holy. I belong to him. And I can rest assured that his promises will stay true for the rest of eternity. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is in your presence, I speak Jesus.